Today's shiur is Lili Nishmas Chaya Liba Basimcha. The yahrzeit is Yud Ches Adar. We're going to speak about something that pertains to the whole month of Adar. You know, today's Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit.
Right?
Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit, Zayin Adar. And this features very prominently in the V'Nahafochu. How do we say? The whole theme of Purim is V'Nahafochu. Right? That Haman threw his lots, came out to exterminate the Jews in Adar. Right? And then, you know, V'Nahafochu, you know, V'Yom Asher Siv, Ro'evedim L'Shomem, V'Nahafochu, Asher Yishu to Ayudim, Hema B'Soneihem, the day which the Goyim thought, you know, as the Megillah says, to take control over us, V'Nahafochu, that Am Yisrael took control over them. And that refers to not just the day of Purim itself, but to the whole month of Adar. Like the Megillah says, Opi Vachorsha, Asher Nefachem, Me'ogon Levo, Me'otov, the month changed. There's the V'Nahafochu is on the whole month. And the Gemara therefore says two halachot, halachot l'masa, after just the month of Adar. First of all, Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, from the time that Adar comes in, we have to be Marbim B'Simcha. So not Purim, not the week of Purim. Right, the month of Adar. Simcha is the month of Adar. And by the way, you're not supposed to stop when Adar finishes. You know, because as Rashi says on that Gemara, he says, because happy days are coming, Purim and Pesach, Rashi says. Means that you just start getting happy in Adar, but you keep the Simcha going and going, you know. Because Nisan is a happy month also, so it starts and it just gets greater and greater. Right, a friend of mine once made the cheshbon like this: the happiest day of the year should be Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. Mm-hmm. Why? Very simple, because you're supposed to start getting happy when Adar comes in. Never says to stop. Now Rashi definitely says it's not limited to Adar, because Pesach is coming. Rashi right there on the spot, Purim v'Pesach, right? So if you're supposed to get progressively happy, that's up to Rosh Chodesh Av. And then the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atim B'Simcha. Which means, theoretically, the happiest day of the year should be Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. Theoretically, Fidus Cheshman. But it's very interesting. You know, I'm going to discuss this, that there's these 2 months. You know, it's the Avelis is not just on Tisha B'Av, it's the, you know, it's from the beginning of Av, and the Simcha is not just from Purim, it's from the beginning of the month of Purim. Very interesting. And also another halacha about these 2 months, that it's like, you know, except that there is a difference, right? But like we said, Purim passes, the Simcha of Adar is still there, right? Av, you know, Tisha B'Av passes, it's over, right? And that's, and we're going to talk about that. So they're not exactly the same. And also it has to do with the next halacha that we're going to mention, that the poskim discuss. We know, it's all in the same Gemara, right? If you have to go to court, Rachmana Litzlan, against a goy, so the Gemara says, you know, if the court date is set for Av, push it off at all costs. Because that's when we have bad mazel. We have bad mazel.
Three weeks, and I've included in this.
No, Chodesh Av. We have expanded, you know, the whole thing to the 3 weeks, because the 3 weeks are referred to Ben HaMitzarim. Mm-hmm. But really, as far as I know, from Mitzad Din HaGemara, I do believe, you know, the Avelos, you know, the lack of Simcha is from Rosh Chodesh Av. We over the years we expanded the, you know, to include everything called Ben HaMitzarim. The Gemara says, so push off the court case, don't do it during Av. Because we Jews have bad mazel, Goyim have good mazel during our downfalls, their uprising. But we should try to schedule your court cases for Adar. So now the post can talk about this, you know, is that the whole month of Adar and the whole month of Av? So I do believe that the understanding is, and I think it's Mefurash in, Al-Pisod, even though it's not clear from the Gemara, that that which we should avoid contact, going to court with Goyim is only until Tisha B'Av. After that, you could go to, not bad mazel, to face off with them for the rest of the month. for the rest of the month. But by Adar, there doesn't seem to be any, you know, like we said, you know, the good times roll. The good times roll, and the good times never stop. It's not, you know, the Simcha doesn't stop at Purim. It keeps on going, and the good mazel doesn't stop, you know, after Purim is over. It keeps on going. And but by Av, at least Baruch Hashem, Meruba Midat Tova, Midat Puraniot, right? Goodness is always better than bad stuff. And even though all the bad stuff about Av is only until Tisha B'Av, you know, and then... That's what the post can bring, Al-Pi Kabbalah, that, you know, the certainty about this, that is Al-Pi Kabbalah, that the bad mazel is only up to Tisha B'Av. After that, it's, you know, goes back to being neutral until it'll be converted to being a happy month, B'mera B'Ameinu. All right, so this is our topic, really, you know, the flip-flop of the month of Adar, and how this has to do with Moshe Rabbeinu per se. Because the Gemara tells us that when Haman threw the lots, and he saw it came up on Adar, he was happy. He thought that, you know, luck is on his side. So there's the mazel dug him, first of all. You know, fish swallow, I'm going to swallow them up. Right? And as the Gemara pointed out, but he was thinking, you know, one-dimensionally, right? He was thinking, you know, fish swallow and get swallowed. Haman, you're the fish that gets swallowed. Right? All right, that's why it's mazel dagim. Two fish, one swallows, the other one gets swallowed. The question is, which one is which? I didn't realize he'd be the one that would get swallowed, as opposed to one that swallows. Okay, fine. But then what's more puzzling is the next one. Yeah, everyone knows the next step. They also realize Adar was the day, the month, that Moshe Rabbeinu died. Right? Died on Zayin Adar. So the Gemara says he didn't realize it was also the month that he was born in. Right? Okay. It all sounds very nice and poetic, but it's nonsense. I mean, seemingly. He who last laughs best. Right? Ultimately, look, Lama said, yeah, fine. 120 years earlier, he was born on that day. Asma, he died. You know, if I kill someone on his birthday, I'm not guilty of murder. It was his birthday. It's the day he was born. So what? He had been born on the same day. You see, Hakol Lech Achar Asof, right? How did you go by how things end off? So seemingly on that, you know, Haman remains correct, you would think. Right? That, you know, despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu died, you know, despite the fact that he died, you know, still it became a good month. But Gemara is saying, no, he was mistaken. He didn't realize he was born then also. We have to try to understand what that has to do with anything, because ultimately he died. Now, ultimately, that was the day he died. Right? And this is going on, you know, the mazel of the month, of Adar. Right? Discussing, and which is, you know, the Megillah makes it very simple to him, HaChodesh. And, you know, the month that's Asher Nefach Lehem. The Nefach was on the mazel of the month. All right, now the truth is like this, you know, if we could say it like this also. You know, we could phrase our question slightly differently. Right? So if it's a good month, because Moshe Rabbeinu was also born then, so what's the Vinafochu? Always was good. Right, so you could say it that way also. So there's no Vinafochu, it was always good. So, Amasa, let's like take it from the angle of Moshe Rabbeinu per se. Because you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is central to our war with Amalek. You know, just like in the very first Milchama against Amalek, he was there with his hands up. All right, that's why Haman was just, you know, once it was very happy to see that's the day he died, because he was very central to the Milchama. So this is, there's something about Moshe Rabbeinu, per se, in this Vinafochu. The connection that Moshe Rabbeinu has to Purim, we spoke about this in previous years. Now, you know, then the famous Gemara in the Chulin, Right. Moshe min HaTorah Minayin, a remnant of Moshe Rabbeinu, is, you know, by the Mabu, B'Shagam, who Basar for his first B'Shagam, Gematria Moshe. Then the Gemara immediately looks for Remazim, for all the characters of the Purim story. Hama min HaTorah Minayin, Amina, it's Esther min HaTorah Minayin, Avinochi, Aster, Aster, Panay, Mordechai min HaTorah, Kach Lecha, B'Samim Rosh, Mordror, the Targum is Mira Dichya, Mordechai. Right. So Moshe Rabbeinu definitely has what to do with it, and now that Moshe Rabbeinu is now central to the principle of the Vinafochu principle. Right. So Gemara, I forget the exact daf that the Perek Chelek, I do believe, in Sanhedrin, that the one of the Apikorsim asked one of the Amoraim, I want you to prove to me that Judaism really, really believes that A, God knows the future, B, that there's a resurrection of the dead, there's Tchiyat HaMesim. Apikoros confronts that, like, I think, you know, you rabbis, you know, you're putting stuff into the Bible that's not really there. One of the Apikorsim, one of these many, yeah. And we think that we feel that you've tampered with Judaism, right? Right, and have inserted ideas that aren't written in the Bible. Right? I want proof from the Bible that God knows the future, A, and B, that there'll be Tchiyas HaMesim. Okay, rabbis are inserting new ideas that are not biblical. There's a famous big lie about trying to make a schism between biblical Judaism and rabbinic Judaism. All right, so I'm saying it's ancient, this thing, you know. So as the Gemara says, someone's challenged, you know, show me from the Chumash, from the original biblical Judaism, this idea that God knows everything, A. B, right, that there'll be Tchiyat HaMesim. Doesn't say anymore in Chumash. Show me. So he says, I'll prove it to you both from the same pasuk, which is written by Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hincha shochev im avosecha v'kama am v'zana acharei Elohei nechar. Roughly it's the Lashon HaPasuk part. I mean, didn't look it up before I came here, but it's roughly the Lashon. I do believe it's in Parshas Vayelech. Vayelech. You know, towards the end of the Chumash, it's Vayelech. Yes, Parshas Vayelech. To believe Hincha Shochev im Avosecha V'Kama Am V'Zana Achrei Elohei Nechar Haaretz is roughly the Lashon HaPasuk. Right, you are now going to lay with your forefathers, and this nation will rise up and serve idols. Right? So he says like this. First of all, from the most simplest meaning of the pasuk, you see, God is telling him what's going to happen in the future. God is telling him V'Kama Am V'Zana Achrei Elohei Nechar, which sadly, the whole Navi Meksu, we were guilty of Avodah Zarah repeatedly. That's been historically confirmed. So God already says it of the generation of the desert that they are going to be. So that's A, right? That's. But B, if you read the pasuk, you can read the pasuk as follows: Hincha shochev im avotecha v'kam. You are now going to lay with your forehead and get up again. You mean you could like read the pasuk that way? So he, right? And these two pesukim are both written by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? As
I see.
Right, so he's like you could read up, break up the pasuk like in Chashon become comma, as it you will go, and get up again, okay. As opposed to put v'kama on v'zana. Yeah, so he's like cute. He gave a cute answer. I did both from the same pasuk. Now, whether the Gemara says that it's convincing or not, but it's something to look into that the two ideas were bundled together: God's foreknowledge of the future and Tchiyas HaMesim, bundled together, and in context of Moshe, Hashem speaking to Moshe. Right. Okay, first we're going to talk about ideas that we learned in Derech Hashem. And then we're going to get to things that, a little bit more advanced. Now we know from Derech Hashem, we had learned that death is very, very necessary for rebirth. As we learned, it came up already, even already at the very beginning of the Sefer, in Perek Shlishi, or in the third Perek, and it got repeated a few times throughout the Sefer, that because of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, we've been adulterated with evil, and that's why we're mortal. Right? And death is not just the sad consequence of that, it is actually the way to solve the problem. Because as we learned, because you die and decompose, right? So the evil, the bad matter, is smelted out, right? And that enables the body to be rebuilt only with good matter at the time of resurrection. And that's why the resurrected are immortal. So think about this for a second. Right? Death is the biggest vinafohu. Right? Basically, it's the sad outcome of the sin of Adam. Right? It's a sad outcome of the sin of Adam. Uh-huh. And yet, on a deeper level, it's not the problem. It's the solution. Yeah. Right? Because, as we learned, and also when we move to Nefesh HaChaim, he's going to have an entry on this also. That's why God barred Adam from the Eitz HaChaim. Right? With the flipping sword. V'achal v'chaylam, what's so terrible? Why does Kosher just wants to be mative? Why did he bar us from would not be for our benefit? Because if man would live forever in his current form, he would be forever corrupted, never get the bad stuff out. And he, he'd live forever, but he'd never be able to be nene meziv ashchina, which is the real goodness that God wants to give us. The real goodness would be barred from, because we got to get pure in order to cling, have dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So live forever in Olam Hazeh. What's good about that? It's not good. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu barred the Eitz HaChaim from man after the sin of Adam. Because at this point, it's not good for us. It's bad for us. Right? What's good for us is death. And now with all these ideas that we learned in Derech Hashem, we can understand a very cryptic medrash. Right? As you'll see, this all has to do with Purim. It says at the end of Maaseh Bereishit, V'elokim eskol asher asa v'hine tov mod. For the first 6 days, tov, right? And it's just tov. All of a sudden, at the very end, v'hine tov mod, very good. At the end of the sixth day, what's very good? Everything was just stum, it's just good. Now it says very good. Right? What's the very good? So says the Medrash. Yes, all the bad stuff. Tov zehachaim. Tov ma'od zehamisa. Good is life. Very good is death. Right? We'll explain in a second. When you're in yeshivas, you know what they say. They have a simple pshat. If sheinas achas mishishim shomisa, if sleep is only 1/60th of death, death must be unbelievably geschmack, right? That's Bachram. That's our future, man. Need Mashiach quick. Anyway, so the tov mod misa, tov zu yetzara tov, tov mod ze yetzara, tov is Gan Eden, tov mod is Gehenim. Etc. Etc. The Tov Mod. That's all the bad stuff. All the bad. That's what's very good. And it says B'Sefer Torah Rabbi Meir Matzu Kasev. By the same Medrash, that Rabbi Meir had his own private Sefer Torah. Obviously not for laning purposes. He had a scroll where he had some interesting differences. I guess, a private scroll for him to remember certain things. Obviously, as you say, it wouldn't be, seemingly would not be kosher to lane from. Right? So, besides, he had kusnas, or vestments of light, with an aleph, not with an ayin. Vestments of light, as opposed to vestments of skin. But one of the many discrepancies that there were, b'sefer Torah shoremeh matzu kusav v'alkei kosher v'inei tov mavet. He's mamash substitute the word ma'od, very, for death. V'inei tov mavet. Really accentuating the very good is death. Ki tov mavet, mavet. Substituting the word very for death. Okay, this is for Purim. You only understand this on Purim. When you expand your mind. You can only be real with this on Purim, I should say. We can explain intellectually. The only time to be real with it is on Purim. When mind expands a little bit.
How can you experience pleasure without knowing what pain is?
But it's even better than that. It's not about contrast. It's not about. It's more than that. It's more than that.
When you have a miserable sickness or a miserable end, death is much better. Death is a release.
Oh God! You guys are so morbid. I'm out of here. I'm trying to be happy. Yeah, I'm telling you. Think positive. Listen. Bear with me. I'm going to reframe this for you. All right. I'm going to reframe this, right? Reframing, that's key in psychology. Reframing, right?
Positive reframing.
Right. It's Adam. Come on. Right. That. So it's like we were explaining before. Now, things that we learned in Derech Hashem, and then we're going to take it further. But ideas that we learned in Derech Hashem already, black and white, is that death is not the problem, death is actually the solution. But not Stam, not anything that was said before, because, your troubles are over when you're dead. First of all, it's not so simple, right? I don't want to get into that right now. The thing is like this, right? The death is the portal, to get out of the box. The box being the problem that our current mortal state is adulterated with evil. And that's why we are not constructed in a manner that can live forever and for a constructive reason. Because we cannot be dovek in the Shekhinah. Now the real goodness that God created the world for, was to be nena dvekas in Him. Like we learned Derech Hashem, second parak. That is all, right? All the things that we learn. Cling to God. That is the ultimate goodness. It makes any other pleasure look like a joke. Now, even spiritual pleasures, cling to the infinite. Right? We can't do it in our current corrupted state. We can't. Right? We may have earned the right through doing mitzvahs, but what can you do? You're not constructed. So we've earned a goodness that we can't take. Right? And so the solution to the problem is that through death and decomposition, right? So the bad stuff, the bad matter that got into us because of Chet Etz Hadat gets smelted out, and it enables us by Trias HaMesim, when the body's rebuilt, it's rebuilt only with good matter, not with bad matter. And that's why at Trias HaMesim, right, as we learned to Derech Hashem, the new body can hold all the power of the neshama. Like we learned, Hashem, only a small fraction of your neshama is actually in your body. Your body can't take more than that. It'd explode. The kalim would break because of the ribui ore, right? There's only a small little, the aspect of called nefesh and all the other aspects called ruach and neshama, they're beyond the body, They're... they have a relationship with what's in the body, but they're more in heaven than on earth. Right? But at the time of Trias HaMesim, the body will be able to hold all the power of the neshama, and it won't be overloaded. Right? Because the body will be built only with the good matter and not the bad matter. So because the body will be pure, right, it could absorb all that power and fuse with the neshama. And so it comes out that death is really not the problem; it's the solution. Solution to to make man, mankind, those who are worthy, on a level that they could be dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right?
Wasn't that the status of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the reason Malach HaMavos couldn't
He was
taken, because his body and soul were fused?
Yeah, no, but not totally. He was halfway. I don't want to put a number on it, but he was one step further along in the process. Correct. Mm-hmm. That's why his body didn't age, but he still had to die.
Right.
In a manner of speaking, as we're going to discuss. Right, but even Moshe Rabbeinu did not reach the level of Adam before the sin. Even he did not reach that level. Right, but he was like one step further. That's why he's called Ish HaElokim. That he had even the aspect called neshama inside his body, but there's still levels called chaya and yechida that he couldn't hold. And that's what I said, Ish HaElokim is half man, half Elokim, referring to the level called the nishmas chayim. Right? It was, as it were, halfway there. Halfway there. Right? But still not the whole way. But definitely he opened up the portal. Not just mitzvah, what he achieved for himself, but how he gave us the Torah, to enable us to get there also. But of course, he, who was the enabler of the whole thing, he himself had the benefit of being, halfway there. So you can understand what it means that life as it is good. I hope I don't have to reframe that for everyone also. Right? It is, whatever, after a cup of coffee, it all feels better.
There is a facet in life that...
Oh, man, whatever.
You said your encounter right now is supposed to be happy, so we'll be happy.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, but there is a facet in our life that we have supposed to glorify Shem Shammai. Dolei Olam didn't want to die because they said, where am I going to do mitzvahs? Where am I going to go?
No, because I want to do mitzvahs. That's right, because I'm not putting my emphasis on the schar. I want to put my emphasis on the service. That's correct. That's correct. I want to serve. I don't want schar.
The basic vows. You don't go with tzitzis outside. No lag larash.
That's right.
It's the concept of life, living life and living it.
I didn't say otherwise. But in the so long as it's the 6,000 years called Hayom La'asotam, as opposed to the future of Mochar L'Kabel Scharam, as long as it's the era and the universe of Olam Hazeh, which is all called Hayom La'asotam, I want to do. Because it's not time yet. So long as, but someone who says, I want to be in Olam Haba and do mitzvahs, he needs, psychiatric help. Yeah. Mitzvahs don't apply anymore, because no more work to be done. But so long as I live in the world of work, I want to do work. I want to work. Right? So long as it's that tkufa, that's the era that reality is holding it. It's holding in the tkufa of Hayom La'asotam. Right, it's still work time, not quitting time. I want to do more work. In Olam Haba, there's no more work to be done because everything that has to be fixed has been fixed already. But so people say, as long as the era of Hayom La'asotam, I want to live longer to do more work because it's work time. Now, no one will be saying that in Olam Haba because it doesn't apply anymore. But as long as Avoda still applies, I want to do as much Avoda as I can as long as it's the era, the 6,000 years of Hayom La'asotam. Okay, so but the point is that death is what enables Tchiyas HaMeisim. So it actually means that death, when you have that deeper view of it, is rebirth. It's rebirth. It's what it's going to enable Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's no going to immortality without going through death first. Right? And that's why you can understand, the Olam Haba, that's very good. Olam Hazeh is just stam good. Right? Olam Hazeh is just stam good. I mean, if you have the right perspective on life, whatever. We could work on it for $150 an hour if you want and help you realize that. But the Olam Hazeh is good. Olam Haba is very good. Question is, how are you going to get there? How are you going to get to Olam Haba? That Kashav Hine Tov Ma'od. That said, when what? When Shabbat comes in. It said where weekday meets Shabbos. Shabbos being Olam Haba. So that pasuk is said at the transition point. You're going from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. I mean, if Adam wouldn't have sinned, Shabbos would have been Olam Haba, all right? So now it goes the long way around, like we learned also in the Derech Hashem, 1,000 years for every day. So it was supposed to be 6 days, Sheshet Yemei, you know, the Bria, and Shabbos would be, you know, on the seventh day. All right, now we know, we learned this all in Derech Hashem, 6,000 years, right? And then the seventh millennium is the big, big Shabbos, you know, Chad Choruf, everything. The world is mushbat. The world is shut down. And then Ulasof Elef Shana, Akosh Chozer Mechadish Olamo, at the end of the seventh millennium, Akosh Baruch Hu renews the world. Olam Haba. Right? So it all became now the big picture, 1,000 years per day. Alright, so the only way to make it there from here, where there is very good, right? The only way, you know, to get there from here is, right, through death. Right? Starting with that. But now let's go through the rest of the Medrash. Hey, all right, you want Olam Haba. What do you got to do?
Earn it.
Earn it. Now, how do you earn it? You got to face off with the evil. We're not getting this for free, right? We have to do hard work. Now, define work in the Torah sense of work. There's evil in the world. You're going to have to face it. Resist its temptations. You know, A, Sur Meira, and then Va'aseh Tov. You're going to have to correct it. Right? And if you don't face, you know, you don't face off with the evil, you don't do that job, you're not getting paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to come as payment, because otherwise it's Nahamad Kisuv, it's bread of shame, and it's not, and you're not going to be able to look the Shekhinah in the face, you know, if you got it as charity. You got to work, right? And if it wouldn't be for evil, there'd be no work to do.
What is the Summa of the Gulayado?
Oh God, I don't know, but all I can tell you is Chazal attests to the fact called Godo Mecha Vero Yitzo Godo Meno.
Okay, but yeah. That's so.
You would think, you know. That's it. I mean, I'll tell you, we're all friends over here, right? Whatever, you know. I'd be burnt for. I'd be burnt for saying this, you know, that, you know, but a friend of mine, you know, Bocher and Chevroner Yeshiva, right, in Yerushalayim, right, told me years ago, he and a bunch of other Bocherim from Chevron were at some type of reception and whatever, you know, mixed seating, you know, whatever, they weren't makbid, you know, the donor, you know, it wasn't on his radar, you know, and so it was like what you call family seating. Right, so, and you know, so some donor to the Chevron Yeshiva, so there are Bochrim there also as a delegation. And they saw Rav Chaim Kreisworth sitting there, the Rav of Antioch, Rav of Belgium, one of the Dolei Ador. So they asked him, you know, maybe we should leave because there's mixed scene. He said, well, I'm here. Yeah, sure. So I must hold its mutter. Why are you asking me? You see, I'm sitting here. No, it's different. You're the Rosh Hashiva, and you know, Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Dor, you're the Gadol Ador, you're the Rav of Antwerp. Ifcha Mistabra, the other way, call Gadol Mechaber Yitzro Gadol Imenu. Just the opposite. If I'm so big, I have a bigger Yitzro than you do. And if I'm here, it must be its mutter. And no one will believe the story, right? Chazal testifies, call Gadol Mechaber Yitzro Gadol Imenu. Yeah.
You're talking about evil.
What?
Moloch is evil.
Yes.
Now, we're commanded to destroy your Moloch.
Absolutely. And that's called facing off with the evil. And you get dirty. You get dirty when you face off with evil. You get dirty.
And then, of course, Haman is a Moloch.
Yes.
Now
it's the liberals.
So we're dealing with the concept of evil at Purim.
Absolutely. That's what I'm getting to.
That's what you're getting to.
That's what I'm getting at. That this is the Nafohu, you know.
Because no matter how many times we try to destroy Amalek, which is the incarnation of evil, we never succeed.
Mechamal Hashem ba Amalek midor dor. It's ad sof hadorot, which is the end of the 6,000 years. Which is, again, all a result of the sin of Adam, that now things go the long way around, 1,000 years per day. So it's ad sof hadorot. And the dorot are only for 6,000 years. So all the days of Hayom la'asotam, all those generations of Hayom la'asotam, for all those generations, we're going to have to face off with Amalek. Until, and he will end when this world also ends. And there'll be no more work to be done. And then Olam HaBa could come. So Amalek is Midor Dor, just like we, so long as there's days of work to be done. So it means for all generations.
But Amalek is really not a specific tribe.
That's right.
It's sort of allegorical in a way. It's really evil. It's evil. It's all over the world.
Yes,
right?
That is correct.
So how is Amalek? They represent evil? Is that the idea?
He is an ideology. He's a virus that every once in a while takes over the mind of a nation. He moves from nation to nation. Just like Haman. Haman was a Persian citizen. I was still included in the travel ban, but still, you know, it was a, so he was a Persian. You know, he didn't identify as an Amalekite. There wasn't such a people anymore, because Shaul had already taken care of what was left of them. Right? It is just my favorite, you shouldn't say all of Torah is equally geschmack, but my favorite pasuk. What can I say? Just... Not a level of Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber once said, oh, what a geshmak arashba. I felt so guilty. How can I say geshmak arashba? All of Torah's geshmak. Well, I'm not at that level. Right? My most geshmak of pasuk, and I love reading every year by Haftarah Shalom, by Sashef Shmuel Eshaw, by Sashef Shmuel Eshagag of Nei Hashem. He cut him into puppy chow. I love it. By Shasef, he cut him into kazesim. Right? A Novi with a long white beard, you know, so cut a gog into puppy chow. Unbelievable. Ah, it's geshmak. Every year. It's right? That's the way we have to feel about it, yes. Yeah, we have to be, that's the whole purpose of Parsha Zohar, is to get us, you know, heated up and animated, you know. Yeah. Anyways, so we are going to be facing up with Amalek. Basically, Amalek is synonymous with Avoda. Synonymous, right? Our job is to face off with evil, right? And now, without getting into all the details, I'll just say this real quick. The Ramchal, in his other sefer, Das Tvunus, says, you know, there's more than one way to fight evil. There's more than one way. There's actually, you know, fighting with it, as we know, you know, and doing countermeasures. He does this, we do countermeasures, right? But he says there's another way to, you know, which just to tell you, for those who think that life is so hard, right? You know, there are times when, you know, we can't take countermeasures. But he said, but if you have bitachon, the Ramchal writes this, if you have bitachon, that's a kol miyad Hashem, right? And this evil doesn't have its own power. You know where he got his power from? He got his power from our sins. And this is God punishing me. And he doesn't be'etzem have his own power. That bitachon is your countermeasure. And you get paid for that bitachon, and having that bitachon is your fighting of him. And b'schus to bitachon, his power wanes already on the spot. Bitachon is real work, is what is macharsha. Bitachon is a form of work. Because when there is no work to be done, sadly you don't have the resources, you don't have the opportunities, bitachon is work. Do not make light of bitachon. Bitachon is not just a placebo to make yourself feel better. Bitachon is real work. That's what the Ramchal writes in Das. It is real work. When that's the only thing to do, it is real work. It has the cosmic effect as if you did mitzvahs to counterbalance the ra. You have to know that. So even the evil that we can't take physical countermeasures against, having bitachon that it's not real, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only king, that is real work that has cosmic ramifications if we did mitzvahs. It is also a way of contending with the evil. So it remains true that we almost have to be grateful to evil. We can only be real with this on Purim. We're dealing with like the most serious philosophical questions, right? And Purim is just the one time that we're out of our minds, in a good way. With the Adelo, we spoke about this last week. We're Adelo Yada, we're past our Das Tovara. You know, we have a higher form of intelligence. You think about it, we almost have to be grateful for the evil. If not for it, we'd be unemployed. All right? Unemployed and no way to earn Olam HaBa. No way to earn Olam HaBa. Right? But it goes even deeper than that. Even one step deeper. Right? God created the world in a way that we could appreciate. It's such a, and it's really exciting for all those people who need reframing. There's the Chovas Halavavas has a chapter called Shar HaBechina, right? They say, like, you know, take one day to think, you know, what a beautiful word it is, you know. Why does the sky have to be blue? It could have been gray. Oh, you know, God wants you to know, you know. The fact that the world is so has the shapes and the colors and, you know. And then on a deeper level, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to us, you know, even the more intricate workings of the universe, right, with the Chochmas HaKabbalah. Right? And it's all there to enjoy, to, you know, that mankind could look at the Chochma of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manig the world. So what we can't glean from just looking at the world with a clear head, right, we have, you know, we have the manual and the secrets of the Kabbalah, which deal with the Hashgacha and understanding how everything is litov, right? You know, there's, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to appreciate reality. He wants us to understand life and appreciate life. And that's why he revealed to us what he revealed to us in Chochmas HaKabbalah. So, right? So now, what it says over there is that there's definite physics. There's definite physics to what Olam HaZeh, how it, you know, metamorphosizes and becomes Olam HaBa. There's a science to it. We say, I mean, we just know the structure. 6,000 years, world's closed for renovations for 1,000 years, then it's rebuilt. Right? You know, in what manner, you know, did it, you know, get rebuilt in a better form? That is Olam HaBa. All the things that used to be bad got converted to good. And that's what it means, Tov Me'od. Everything was just Stam Tov. And it was Tov versus Ra. Right? So it was just good. Good Stam, and it was evil. Right? Tov and Ra. Right? The Ra gets added to the Tov, and that's when you have Tov Me'od. And that's what that medrash means, all the bad stuff. Tov is all the good stuff. Tov Me'od is all the bad stuff. Death and Yetzahara, right? And Yisurin and Gehenim and all those things. Because all those things get added on to the goodness. And that's how good now expanded. Goodness used to be up to here, and that was Tov. Now you expand, now it's very good. The expansion of the Gvul of Tov, the expansion of the boundaries of goodness, is because the evil got added on to the good.
The bad when it's added on to the good?
That's right. So when the good doesn't just negate it, it actually annexes it. It's annexed.
And it absorbs it.
That's right. It conquers it.
It conquers it.
It's annexed. Not just stomped, defeated. It's annexed.
This isn't a now thing, though.
No, now it's war. Muhammad Hashem Bamak. Now it's war. But you have to know that what really happens as a result of the war is that the evil got annexed to the good. But of course, so let's just explain this, and this because it has to do very much with our perception of time, which I'm trying to get to, right? Our perception of time, you know, because we don't see the past, right? You know, after it happened, we don't see it anymore. But if you could see what it looks like in heaven, you would see that all the evil that we struggled with got annexed to the good. But you don't see it anymore because it's in the past. Right? It's that time is stored away, and you're going to re-encounter that time in Olam HaBa. Without getting into, we'll explain this in a second, that Olam HaBa is all time together. You see past, present, and future simultaneously. Netzach, Nitzchius, the Ramchal writes in his Adib Amaram, is not, it's a different type of time. The world, the eternal world, is all time together. Right now, we only live one moment at a time. And the moment that there was, right, you don't see it anymore. So you remember it horrible, but the way you remember it is not the way it currently is. The way you remember it is how you experienced it. But that's not the way it is. Right? Because you know, as that time got stored away, it got stored away if we were good about it. If we were good about it and we won our struggles, or we went through our struggles with bitachon, that the time as it's stored away right now, where it's stored, you it looks different than the way you remember it. You'll see that the evil has been annexed to the good. Right, but you, in the heat of the battle, you know, you remember the heat of the battle. You know, when the result was attained, it's already in the past. Right? So now you don't see how it's all, you know, how you, what happened, you know, got resolved. I mean, if you handled it correctly, that is.
Right. But if evil is lack of existence, then how can it get transformed?
No, because the thing called evil per se is lack, but it infiltrates reality, right? Like we said, maybe poverty is not anti-money. It's not saying it's anti-money. It's lack of money. But it hurts, doesn't it? Okay, there you go. There you go. All that pain, which, how it affects reality, how it affected reality, that's what gets converted. It itself is nothing. It itself is nothing. It's negative effects, right? It's negative impact. That impact gets converted into goodness.
You always think about the Holocaust and think about evil.
Right.
How does the Holocaust turn, since it's a past experience, how does it annex to the good?
All right, because all those Jews that did not lose their faith, I mean, again, it's easy to say, that's why I said Purim is the one day that, in a way that we, you have to be out of your mind in a good way, to appreciate this, because we can't get our Das Tovara that we have as a result of the Chet Etz Das Tovara, our limited and tainted intelligence can't get its head around this. On Purim, we do get our heads around it, but not when we're conscious, right? It's easy just to say, right? But it's hard to be real with, except on Purim, right? One day a year, and when you're real with it, you're not all there that you could explain it to someone else, right? And by the time you sober up, then you lost it already, right? Until the following year, right? So we could just say the words, even though it's very hard to be real with it, and that is that all those Jews that did not lose their faith as they were tortured and killed, right? So all that lethal force and all those resources used against them, the boots that kicked them, right? The gas, all the resources that the evil hijacked to use against them. So even though evil itself doesn't really exist, but it hijacks resources, right? It has a negative impact. It's a big lie, but it has a negative impact that hijacks a great deal of resources. All those resources all got annexed to the good because the Jews went through it with faith.
So what you said,
I know, it's easier to say. Okay, okay.
And I have a question. What you said about it's the negative impact of the Ra is what gets converted, not the actual Ra itself, which is...
The actual Ra, that's for
so
me.
Therefore, it's our negative... When we see something negative happen to us, it's our perception of it that it's bad. We can't see the good in it.
Right.
So it's our negative perception. So what you're saying is it's our negative perception... Because we don't have that total clarity,
right.
That's what gets transformed, and not the Raza.
No. The negative perception, you will realize, is a mistake. It's not the whole picture.
So therefore, once we get clarity...
That's right. Let's see clarity. All the resources that were hijacked by the evil get annexed to the good. It hijacks resources. It itself is one big lie, right? But, fake news, right? Fake news causes, people to get excited, cause people to riot, right, and beat up other people, right? Evil doesn't really... Yeah, no, evil at the core level doesn't really exist. It's a bunch of lies, a set of lies, right? But people think it's real and spend good money. People miss work to go out protest to let terrorists into the country, right? It hijacks resources, right? It hijacks resources. And all those resources that the evil hijacked are destined to be added on to the good. So evil per se, which is just lies, will cease to exist. Right? Kol risha kula ke'ashan tichle, like it's just smoke, just dissipate. Right? But all the resources that were at its disposal get incorporated into the good.
Right. That's a combination.
That's right.
You're saying.
That's right.
That the evil is annexed to the good, and it's in the same eight. It's in the same exact
Yes,
part.
Except that over here it wasn't annexed. Over there in that sense, it was evil infiltrated goodness, and that's what causes evil to be able to confuse people. And even though it's a bunch of lies, you could incite a person to genocide. Like Hitler incited a whole nation to genocide. You can incite people to, throw out their lives and all their money on a big lie. It has infiltrated the good, because of sin. I mean, Nefesh HaChaim says, we haven't learned Nefesh HaChaim yet, Eitz Hadat, Dat, Miloshen connection. That tree caused evil to penetrate reality and hopelessly get the two mixed up. So even though evil is just a bunch of lies, it has a tremendous impact on reality. It has infiltrated. People get fooled and throw out, you know, years of their lives and lots of money chasing a dream or chasing an ideology that they were incited into, brainwashed into. But all those resources have to, at the end, we're going to be incorporated into Malchus Shemayim. And all those resources will be added on to the good.
And the Nachash, that is the personification of evil.
Before the sin. But after, because the evil was external. The sin brought evil into reality, and that's why, and that's a Molech, and that's like, you know, you have these ideologues that incite people to murder, incite people. That's because it now went into people's heads. That's why Hamina Tomi 9, Hamina 8. Eitz Hadas, you know, is what caused evil to penetrate reality. The big lie is now inside of us. It's in our heads, right? And that's why we could be incited to do crazy stuff.
Right.
Do crazy stuff and spend a lot of money, you know, on it also.
That is why the method of killing of Haman is on her eight.
That's correct. Exactly. That is correct. That was Menafochu. When he said, you know, let's Yasu Eitz Gavah, he was referring to the Eitz Hadas. He wanted to use the power of the Eitz Hadas to defeat Mordechai. And that's part of the Menafochu. That's what we're getting into. That the evil ultimately is meant to be incorporated into the good. That's the Menafochu. That is the Menafochu. That's what we're getting to. The Menafochu is that we're actually, Purim is actually seeing the edge of destiny. Where, you know, it all flips. Because it's all the evil is just an intermediary phase to facilitate getting from Tov to Tov mode.
I can work on the Bitachon piece, because that's really this is all very
easy to say.
Yes.
Yes, right.
Actually,
this is all very easy.
The story of Esther, you know, is a very
right. Absolutely. That brings out the same story.
Being absorbed into
Ahasuerus, but then from there she calls the shots, and then from being she seemingly was captured into the evil, and from there she calls the shots.
So where the Tov goes into the Ra, but then the Tov wins. In the
that's
story
right.
Of
you're right. Exactly.
So that is the hint of Yemos HaMashiach.
That's right. Exactly.
That reminds correct. Me of the stories of Rabbi Nachman, where the princess is captured, and you know, which is really an analogy for the neshama. So what you just said about Esther.
That's correct. No, the Ramchal says that in a sefer called Kinas Hashem Tzvakas. Esther represents the Shechina in Golus.
Right.
The Shechina's in Golus, and it's not, but even when the Shechina's in Golus, it's really in control. That's like the guy who's in jail, like the real charismatic prisoner that really starts bossing the warden around, and you know, yeah.
You could say Yosef was like
exactly.
That.
Yes, you could say exactly like Yosef, right? Correct. Right. So it comes out like this, you know. It's one big loop, right? Now, destiny. We're not living on a timeline. We're living on a time loop. Loop, as opposed to timeline. People think we live on a timeline. We don't live on a timeline. We live on a time loop. Right? It's one big loop. Except that the revelation that it's a loop is a clarity that everyone believed in, but it was revealed on Purim. That's a loop. We're not living in a line, we're living on a loop. Because seemingly, you know, the perception of timeline, right, is that our glory is behind us. Well, first of all, there was a beautiful world before Dora Mabu. All right. There's a beautiful world of Mamad Ar Sinai, beautiful world of Beis HaMikdash, and it's behind us. Right? Behind us. What's ahead? Who knows what tomorrow will bring. That's if you have a perception of time, it's a line, right? But we're not living in our timeline, we're living in a time loop. Because And it's very, it's a very simple, it is very simple to understand this once you accept the notion that God knows the future, right? And he always knew the future, right? He even knew the future, you know, at the time, even before he created the world, right? So you know you're living in a loop. Sof ma'aseh v'machshava tchila. You're living in a loop. We're just, yeah. You know, there's, you know, if God knows it, it means there's a destiny. There is a destiny, right? You know, line is, okay, there's the past, and now we're holding at the present. Who knows what the future brings, right? But you know, so if there is a, God knows the future, which means there is a destiny. There is a destiny, and God always knew the future. Sof ma'aseh v'machshava tchila. That means we're headed to reshit ha-machshava. The sof ma'aseh is machshava tchila. We're living in a loop. Right? As the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, Kodem shebara koshbu olamo hayahu ushmo echad. Before he created physical reality, it was he and his name were one. There was nothing else. What does it say in the future? Bayomahu yeh Hashem echad ushmo echad. We get back to that clarity of eino muvado. Just living in a loop. Right? All the evil that we face, right? It's all for the purpose of bringing us to the very good. Right? With all the evil, and death itself is the biggest, example. If not for death, we cannot be reborn at Tchias HaMesim. We cannot attain our immortality and attain the whole reason why God created the world for. Right? The whole Reishis HaMachshava was to be Meitiv. And the real atava is to be dovikbo. And you can't be dovikbo unless you're immortal. And you can't be immortal if you're tainted. So it comes out that death is really what brings you back to the beginning. It's not the end. It's not the end. It brings you back to what the Reishis HaMachshava is. Right? All the bad and difficult times are not taking you away. They're actually bringing you back. They're actually bringing you back. Because the way you face those challenges, you overcome those challenges, right? That's what's bringing you to your destination, which was the whole reason why the world was created. That's Sof Maisa, which is B'machshav HaTchila. You know, the month of Adar, right? You know, take a look how, you know, Jewish time goes in cycles. You know, our time is in loops. Not in lines, loops. Whereas the 7 days of the week, going back to Sunday, right? But also here's the point, the month, Adar, last month of the year. So if Nisan, when we came out of Mitzrayim, is our strong, right? When we were untouchable until Amalek cooled us down, you know, you jumped into the hot tub, right? So Adar is the furthest month away from Nisan. Nisan's the first month, Adar is the 12th month, right? But where does Adar take you?
To Nisan.
It takes you to Nisan. That's what Rashi said that we quoted. Nishan Nichras Adar Mar Besimcha, because it's good times are coming, Purim and Pesach. So this month that's furthest away brings you right back to the beginning. Right? Haman's perception of time, like the second perception of time, is that we're living on a timeline. And that's why Mida Keneged Mida, what does Bilam say about Amalek? Reshit Goyim Amalek V'acharito Adei Oved. He's the first of nations, but at the end, he'll be obliterated. Just Amalek knows that, but he thinks the rest of the world is that way also. You know, everything has a start, and then eventually it's closed, it's over, right? Global warming, right? It's going to take us down, right? It's not, you know, right? But says the Maharal, as opposed to Am Yisrael, he's Achariso Adiyavid. He ends. He comes to an end, right, of absolute obliteration, right? Because he'll end together with the world ending, right? At the end of the 6,000 years. But says the Maharal, Yisrael, like our name implies, our name ends off with the name of Hashem. We make it all the way to the other side of the circle. He drops off in the middle. Right? he drops off. We make it all the way to God. We don't end because we make it to God. We end by God. That's Olam Haba. He doesn't have Tveikas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he ends when the world ends. We don't end when the world ends. We end by God. And once you end by God, you're eternal, because you'll be cling with him, and you'll stick with him, and you'll stick with his. Just like he's forever, you're forever. Yisrael, we end off by a kel, we end off by God.
The rest of the world, lo yirei Elokim, but it says specifically on Molech, lo yirei Hashem, I don't remember exactly.
Yirei Elokim.
Lo yirei Hashem or lo yirei Elokim, I don't remember. That was the three last words about a Molech. What makes a Molech so different from the rest of the world? That specifically it describes a Molech, lo yirei Elokim.
Oh, because without getting into all the details, look, the average guy just wants to live his life, right? And serving Hashem might be a bit too complicated for him, right? Amalek just hates God, and does things mamash lahachis, right? So he jumps in, boiling, scalding bath, jumps in just to cool it down. That's it. That in that way, he makes a war on God. War is war on the Jews is a war on God. Mamash lahachis. The evil itself. All right. So now you can understand, going back to that Gemara by Moshe Rabbeinu, whose midah is netzach. Kaidua, Moshe Rabbeinu's midah is netzach, eternality. In the Kaidua Nefer, Hashem Hagdula, Avram, Vagvura, Yitzchak, Vatiferes, Yaakov, Vahanetzach. Vanetzach Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Eternality. And that's what Shmuel says. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker in this week's Haftorah, right? Eternality. The idea of eternality, right? You know, everything that's implied by the word eternality is that there is a destiny, and that everything is a part of that puzzle, and even the evil is a part of that puzzle, right? The evil thinks it's there to bar us. It's actually the facilitator. It's actually the facilitator for us to go to Olam Haba. Right? Even death itself, it's a facilitator. Right? So everything is, you know, and Netzach is that all the pieces of the puzzle are together. Netzach is immortality, to live forever. And that's what it means. That this guy said, you know, prove to me in the Bible, like we said before, that God knows the future and that there's Tchias HaMeisim. And he said, I'll tell you both from the same pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Because the two do to go together. There's a destiny. And if there's a destiny, and desim lashem destination, and that destination is sof maisa b'machshava tchila, the whole thing is just one big loop. Because it's b'machshava tchila. Right? Right, and Moshe Rabbeinu is key in that process, midah of netzach. So that God knows the future. There is a destiny. There is a self meiser that's b'machshav atchila, right? And there will be a tchias hameisim. So the biggest question is death. Well, death is the big kasha. No, death is rebirth. Death is rebirth. Now Jews always believed in that, but then there's a difference between believing something and then revealing it to the world, right? And that was the revelation of Purim, that it used to be something that we just stomp believed in, right? But then there was a revelation of that truth that permeated reality, right? Because really, you know, Jews always believed, life is one big loop, we say, and everything's going to be chozer latov, the evil's going to come back. It's a circle, things get worse, but then it all flips, goes full circle, and everything becomes tov again. Jews always believed that, obviously, but what the schus of Am Yisrael did tshuva me'ava in the days of Mordechai and Esther, that truth was revealed and permeated reality, and it created a real energy within reality, right? Because the perception, we believed life is a loop, but the human perception was, you know, not that way. So it was a truth that we say we believe, but hard to feel. All right. right? And by that percent, that was the perception of Haman, you know, just linear thinking. Your past is behind you, and there's no future ahead of you. It's a line, right? 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 Just a line, right? Living on a timeline, fish swallow. Unidimensional thinking. Moshe Rabbeinu died. All right, he was born, big deal, but that was even further in the past. So who cares that he was born on that day also? Who cares? Right, that's the past. That was like, and the more current event was that he's dead. Right? That was the perception of Adar. Right? Right? But b'schus the tshuva me'avad Am Yisrael did, they revealed the full koach of Moshe Rabbeinu, the midah of netzach, eternality. And the midah of when that is revealed, you see that life is a loop. And everything's a part of that loop, right? All the ra goes full circle to go back to become tov again. Everything, all the failures that there were, go full circle and come back to become good. Right? That's what got revealed, right? And then the nature of Adar, which was viewed as the month furthest away from the sun, our worst month, now became our best month, right? To show you that the bad times are there for the good times and the facilitators and make the good very good. That was the revelation. Sadly, Av was supposed to be a good month for us. You know, if the Jews wouldn't have believed the story of the Meragim of Gan Eteretz, so would have been. My Rebbe Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik, the Kodesh of Racha, told us once in Shir, Nisan, our good month, is called Chodesh HaAviv. What does Aviv mean? You know, when in Hebrew, when you double the last letters, means small, like Katan, small, Ktantan, very small. When we say the reason we call it Avodah Zarah Elil, making fun of it, little God, right? So Aviv means small Av. Av was supposed to be our best month. You know, we reversed that because of our sins. But since it's all a loop, Av is going to yet get back to be a good month again. And that's why even though we, with our sins, reversed the mazel of Av, and that's why those 2 months go together, just like Mishenichras Adar Marv Simcha, Mishenichras Av Mimatim Simcha, because we're responsible for the nature of these months. We're the ones who fiddled with their mazalot. You know, we changed the mazel of Adar with our tshuva, in the days of Mordechai Esther, and with our sin of the Meragim, we changed it. But of course, Meruba Midatova, that Av will yet become a good month again, because everything goes full circle back to the good. And even now, like we quoted from the Mekubalim, the problems of, you know, not going facing off with the Goy during Av is only until Tisha B'Av, the second half, because Meruba Midatova, and that's why Meruba Midatova. Why is Midatova always better than Midat Peronius? Because everything's on the loop to become Tov mode. All the Ra is there to be added, annexed to the good. That's what was revealed. That's what was revealed, you know, in the schus of the truth that Jews always believed in but never felt, got revealed and permeated reality on Purim. You know, because of the tshuva they did on Purim. That now a whole new perception that you could actually be real with it, or at least draw strength from it, even if you can't get your head around it, but you could draw strength from the idea that it's a loop. And all the bad times are part of, you know, the turn of the wheel, but that keep on turning, it all goes back to good, right? And that got revealed. And that's the meat of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it means. He didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born then. That means like this, right? Until Am Yisrael did tshuva, what seemingly was dominant was that we lost Moshe Rabbeinu that month. Moshe Rabbeinu was integral with the war against Amalek, with the hands up, didn't realize he was born. Meaning that it got revealed that Moshe Rabbeinu's death is what makes him eternal. It makes him eternal. Right? Something which my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, also told us. Right? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, morasha kilas Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu told us the Torah. So losing Moshe Rabbeinu is a tragedy. Right? And who's going to teach us Torah? No, morasha kilas Yaakov. It's a Yerusha. Right? So he says, how do you get Yerusha? Someone's got to die. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, but with his dying, also gave us Torah in a different form as Yerusha. Moshe Rabbeinu is always with us. Always with us. His dying was to put him in a different form that he could be with us in every generation. Like Chazal tell us, in every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu gives us back the crowns of Naaseh and Nishma. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is always Moshe Rabbeinu. Of every door, that his neshama enlightens the neshamas of the Talmidei Chachamim of the door. And that's a lashon of Chazal. that the Rambam quotes. The Rambam quotes this Chazal in his Hakdamah to Pirshon Mishnayos. Moshe Rabbeinu lo meis, ela omed u'meshamesh b'mar. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die in a literal sense. He's serving in heaven. It got revealed that even his death is a way to change form, to be with us b'chol dor v'dor. And therefore we just changed our perception that his death is his birth. That's b'nafo. His death is his birth. And that's why he died on his birthday as a simon, that his death is his birth. Right? His death is for the purpose to shift form, to be, and in that form he could be with us in every generation. Give us koach from heaven.
Right.
But you know, the thing about getting married. And that's it. Right. So this is in you. This month, the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Netzach, right? This month, this chag revealed that it wasn't not something that we just believe in, but this truth permeated reality, and that is the nature of the shift of the mazel of Ador, that the midah of Netzach, chuasam hayisal la Netzach, the tikvasam chodor, you are the Yeshua forever. And their hope in every generation and generation, it's never over. It only just restarts and restarts and restarts. Now, that truth was revealed with the schus, and we draw strength from that truth that has been revealed. Moshe, help us, everyone should have a frelich and purim.